The iPhone users group for VIP Conduit on this day, August 14th, 2024. Regarding the Apple Viz website, somebody has stepped up and agreed to maintain and carry on with it. So Apple Viz will continue as a resource. So I think a lot of people will be glad to hear about that.
Okay, where did you get that information? Because I haven't seen that they actually agreed to it. Last I saw it was an option, but they hadn't agreed.
Off. Mute all active. Mute all disabled.
I have misunderstood. I thought that they had agreed to go ahead and carry on with it, and that would be a really good thing if they...
Off. Mute all active.
Off. Welcome
Mute
in.
All disabled.
The other thing that I was going to talk about is I did update my iPhone, and when I got a phone call this morning, a lot of times when my phone rings, I can't hear who's calling yet, so I'll silence the ring by pushing the volume up button, and then I'll go into VoiceOver and look to see who called. And it was my brother calling, and it said waiting by his name. And I'm going, I've never seen that before. So I was reading another email, actually read an email today, and it said that on the new update, you can actually answer the call while that person is reading, leaving a voicemail, and you can also read the transcript of the voicemail as they're leaving it. I thought that is, I couldn't see, I guess he hadn't got to the point of reading, leaving a voicemail because I answered the phone. But has anybody been able to experience that?
No, but I'm listening closely because I just updated.
I updated, but I don't know that I've had a phone call since then, so I hadn't thought about it.
No, I called you earlier. I totally forgot about that. I should have left you a voicemail. I just hung up and sent you a text message. Just figured it's easier to read the text message than go through your voicemail.
Well, actually, when you call, I was in the kitchen and the phone was in the living room. So I was like, I'm not breaking my neck to get to the phone.
Well, I think I heard it say that, waiting. And I think it was the kind of thing where the phone rang and I didn't hear who it was. So I was going to let it, if it actually was somebody I would want to hear from, but to see if it would go to voicemail. And I think I heard it say waiting, and I don't think it did go to voicemail. I think it was somebody that, you know, possible spam or whatever. But, yeah, I wondered about that myself.
So, evidently, when it's saying waiting, you can, even though the phone stops ringing and it says waiting, you can still answer the phone while they're leaving the voicemail.
Yeah, that was what I kind of wondered. That it because sometimes your phone it doesn't ring enough times for you to get to it. Like you say, when you're someplace else and you don't want to kill yourself to get over there to get it. And so in a way that's kind of a neat thing. Now what kind of timing there is on that, like how long it waits before you'd finally get to your phone to answer it, that would be interesting to know.
Okay, in case you do answer it while they're leaving the message, will the message, all of it stay there, or will it be kind of like it is on a house phone? If you pick it up while the message is being, it cuts off, and you just get to talk to the person?
That's a good question, and I don't know the answer to that. I'm thinking that it will probably interrupt the voicemail process and be kind of reminiscent of the days when you were leaving a message on the answering machine and you were screening your calls. You could pick up, oh, it's me, I'm here. That's, I kind of like that feature.
Yeah, I would assume it interrupts. I don't think it would do what some voice answering machines would do, that you pick up the call and it's still recording, and then you start getting all that screeching feedback and you can hear the conversation on the voicemail. Yeah, it's all digital, so I'm thinking it would just interrupt it and take the call. And then whatever they got up to that point would be in your voicemail.
That's right. I'd forgotten that used to you would just be in the conversation on the voicemail. But I think right lately it just cuts it off because I have a house phone. Come on, Bob. You got your coffee topped off?
Hey, Bob, you got your iPhone with you?
That I do have. My wife's got the coffee, but I got my iPhone.
Hey, Bob.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Howdy, Bob.
Howdy, howdy.
Another thing, not to do with anything with the voicemail, but somebody mentioned at one time that they were having trouble finding the top of the screen. So like if they were on the Amazon app and they didn't want to flick back 100 times to get to the top of the screen, a quick way to get to the top of anywhere. Actually, there's several ways to do it, and which is kind of neat. There's a four-finger single tap that takes you to the top. You could focus on the status bar, double tap there. It'll take you to the top. And you can find the back button, and it'll take you to the top. Or you can do a scrub motion, and it'll also take you to the top or the back button. So there's several ways to get where you want to go.
Well, the scrub will take you back as if you click the back button. It won't take you to the top, but you can find usually the back button at the top left hand of the screen. And the four-finger single tap, if you do it towards the top, it usually brings you to the top of the screen. If you do a four-finger single tap towards the bottom of the screen, it'll bring you to the bottom of the page or document or whatever.
Okay, I'm revealing my own stupidity, but what are you calling a scrub motion?
That is, if you take two fingers, put it on the screen, and I normally go from top to bottom, it works better, and pretend like you're cleaning the screen off, so you could do like an S or a Z motion, and so it's like you're scrubbing your screen, so that's where it gets its name from, and you do, like I said, you go back and forth zigzagging, and that usually doesn't work on all apps, but most is the same as double tapping on the back button.
Oh, okay, thank you.
And how many fingers do you do that with?
Just two.
Maybe it never worked for me because I only used one. So you have to use two fingers to do that?
Correct.
That would take a little coordination. I'm not sure I'm good at that.
Usually I use my thumb and my index finger, just the same way you would do your rotor, except instead of spinning your fingers, you just put them like two at the top of the screen and, you know, wipe the screen down.
I have a app-specific question for those who might use the Walmart app. I have several of my favorite items in several categories, and it's like 40 some items that I've got in there, and I'm wondering if there is any way to move fairly quickly down that list besides doing the page down thing, because I can't seem to get it to go by headings.
I don't use the Walmart app. I was going to suggest headings, but you just said that doesn't work. If you put vertical navigation in your rotor, that kind of sorts down more by line than by, you know, item. Like say if there's four items on one line, like three buttons, like say add to favorites, add to cart, and this and that, it'll just drop down to the next line of options. And I had another idea. Let me think. Oh, you said page down. Do you use the three-finger swipe up motion?
I usually go down to the bar thing where the pages show up, and then I do a one-finger swipe up motion. But yeah, I forgot about the three-finger one.
Yeah, I find the three fingers kind of like the page up and down on your computer, just smaller increments. I wonder if there's a way to change how much it swipes.
I don't know, but the line idea is really good, but I'm not real versed on the Walmart app either. I did download it and log into it. I find it very cumbersome to use. So I'm really good at the Shipt app. I can navigate that really, really well. But the Walmart eludes me at this time. I can just call Ira and they do it for me.
I've been doing it now for over a year and I'm pretty good at it. But that's the only thing sometimes. Like, for instance, you know, I get into the beverages, and I want to get stuff from there, so I get stuff from there. And then I want to go down into, like, the household supplies, which is way down at the bottom of the list. And so sometimes it won't let me go down there unless I just flick and flick and flick, and gee, that gets tiring.
Well, then you can do to get to the bottom of the list, you just swipe down with three fingers, or you can do the four-finger single tap to get to the bottom of the list.
I have the same kind of thing with the YouVersion Bible app. You know, when you're in the Bible, the book and the chapter, there is a scroll bar, you know, that tells you if you want to only pick out certain verses that are down toward the end of the chapter or whatever, there's a scroll bar. But when you're in the list of books and say you're way at the end of the New Testament and you want to get back up into the middle of the Old Testament or beginning of the Old Testament books, that's what I have to do, is just keep using one finger to flick down, flick down, flick down, or flick up, where whichever way you are. And that gets annoying, and but I haven't tried this. What do you say, swiping with three fingers to go down to get partway through the list?
Yeah, the three-finger swipe up will take you down through the list, and the three-finger swipe down will take you up through the list. Just, it's kind of backwards of what you would really think. Or you can do, if you want to go in greater increments, the four-finger single tap toward the top of the screen will take you to the top, and then same for the four-finger single tap toward the bottom of the screen.
Yeah, the three-finger swipe up and down, you're swiping in, like, bigger chunks. Like, it's almost like, depending on the page you're on, how it wants to read it. It's like every time you do it, it's like swiping three times or five times with a single finger, you know, right and left. Sometimes.
I have a voice question when we get finished with this.
Okay, go ahead, Susie.
Take picture. Okay. Audio screen. Camera.
I changed my voice on where I'm scanning things in the reading voice. And I have a woman with a British accent, and I don't understand accents very well. So I thought I would go in. I thought, well, I can find this. And I went in, and the only thing I found was the Siri voice. And the Siri voice Siri I have evil. Now is okay. But earlier I had a man, and I liked him better. So how did I change my voices?
The voices are in accessibility, voiceover, and under, somebody help me, Hank, speech, I think.
Correct, speech. Now, you're saying Siri, because Siri and voiceover are two different things. What I was hearing right there is voiceover, If you're swiping around, that's definitely voiceover.
Okay, good. Well, right now it's going click, 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 so I don't know what's going on there. But, okay, when I went into, wherever I went into, I thought, I know this isn't right, but I couldn't remember the accessibility. So thank you.
All right, I'm glad we could help. That's what we're here for.
And under speech to voices, I've just noticed mostly women like the voice Alex. Under Siri, there are 5 voices. I believe 1 and 3 are male, 2 and 4 are female. I could be wrong. And then number 5 is some non-binary voice. I don't know what's going on there. But so there are 5. Is it calling it a Siri voice? I guess, yeah, that's where you got Siri, which is like the default voiceover voice for voices that Apple has put in.
I have just reviewed that today because I thought, you know, let me see if I got... I went into the voices for the Siri and I listened to all the voices and I went right back to voice number 1. That's my favorite voice right there. And then if you want an accent, you can have all kinds of accents. It's got Irish, they got the all these West Indies and all these different ones.
No, I don't need an accent. I guess I have enough of one of my own, but no, I don't need any foreign accents. Thanks.
So voice number 1 is male, correct, Cheryl? If that's true, then I use voice 4, which is a female. I like her better than voice 2. And that's what I use for all the time.
Yeah, voice 1 is a male, and a very nice-sounding male at that. Well, you know, all the accents, they didn't have a southern one, so I feel kind of left out.
Well, I think I had voice 3, and I couldn't decide what he was. I couldn't decide if he was southern or what, but I think that's the one I had.
I know this isn't having to do with the iPhone, but just real briefly, if you ask Google to spell something with an I, it'll say I. Like, if you ask to spell side, it'll say S-I-D-E. It's so funny. Try it sometime.
Well, it's southern then, because when I went to visit some friends in Colorado, she mimicked me saying 5 and I all the time.
I like the one, I think it's the original Samantha voice or whatever, where it talks about members of Quandress. Your Quandressmen. I think, where did that come from?
Well, before I got the iPhone, I had an iPad. And before I had an iPad, I had a Mac Book Pro. And on my MacBook, I had the voice Alex. So naturally, when I got the iPhone, I had to have the Alex voice too.
Well, of course. You bring him in with you.
Too bad that didn't work with Eloquence. I cannot stand Eloquence on the phone. I can't use anything else on the... Well, I could. I just don't like anything else on the computer, which a lot of people hate Eloquence.
I love Eloquence on the computer. I wouldn't put it on my phone.
I grew into computers with Eloquence. That was the first voice after the double talk that I used when I first started doing Windows. And I'm so used to it now. It's almost like it's not really a voice. It almost is like just information. It just speaks into my head. I don't know if that makes sense or not. I'm just so used to it.
Yeah, Eloquence, I don't even hear it as a lot of people say sounds like a robot. To me, it just sounds like a natural sounding voice. I've used it so many years that I don't hear the robot anymore. And anything else I try, like the natural speak or I forget what they're called, the nuance and There's another one that comes with Jaws and even on the iPhone. They all sound robotic to me compared to Eloquence. Go figure.
Real speak. Yeah. I mean, the voices sound okay, but they just, yeah. I try those things for a while, and I always come back to Eloquence. It's like, I'm so used to that, that everything else is inferior.
Yeah, and there's enough inflection, you know, if you said it, that it's not so robotic sounding, you know. I do the same thing. I did not put Eloquence on my phone, but I use it all the time on my computer, and that, and I've tried the other ones too, and it's like, nope, I always go back to that.
Well, robotic to me is the ID Mate. And I've tried many different settings on there, and I still come back to the same one. And I don't know what it is, but it's, they're bad, but they do the trick. They do the job.
Carla, like the Sappy 4, Sappy 5 voices, like NVDA uses. I actually went and put Eloquence on NVDA as well, but on the iPhone. Going back to the iPhone, I do love the Siri voice. I'm surprised that I went female instead of male with that, since Eloquence is a male voice. But for the same reason, she's just snappy, quick, precise, and doesn't like gargle certain words or anything. Although she does say, because people make fun of my phone, because it says button instead of button. But other than that, it's very snappy for me.
There's no speech worse, and I've learned to deal with it because I've have it, is the speech that they have on the Roku stick for your television.
I think the worst one ever is the eSpeak voices, you know, that come with NVDA. If you don't switch it to Eloquence or something else, oh man, I hate those things. They sound like they're talking through a tube.
Agreed.
I have a question. How do you say you're on a phone call and hear our directory downstairs to let people in is attached to my iPhone as well? So I can be on a phone call and another call comes in from the directory downstairs and I have to press a number to let them in, to let the door open. And I have never been good about when you get one call and then how do you put that one on hold, or what do you do to take the second one?
There should be a option when the phone is ringing, should be able to swipe and it should say hold and accept, and it'll put the first person on hold. You pick up the second one, do what you need to do, and when they hang up, you should be reconnected with your first caller.
Yeah, I have to try it, I guess. When they call from the directory, and you can talk to them, there's a, you know, so that you know who it is that you're letting in, but you have to press the number 9 then to have the door open, and I think, oh, am I going to lose my first call? In the process of doing that?
Chances are if you push the hold and accept and hit the 9 and then you hang up with that, it should, or there should be, I've not really physically done that because I've not been in that situation. It should take you right back to the other person.
Yeah, because you usually speak to the person that's down there just to make sure who it is, and you know, and so it's, you're only on talking to them for a second just to make sure who it is, and then hit the number 9, and then when you do that, that disconnects that call. Once the door opens and it's made that connection, that disconnects that call, and I guess I just have to play and see if it automatically brings me back to the first one then. Because I'm always like watching the time when I know somebody might be coming and saying, you know, if anybody calls me, I'm not going to answer the phone, or I'm not going to make a phone call, you know, that kind of thing.
I don't remember what they are, but I know you can, if you're using like AirPods or earbuds with at least the Apple earbuds that have the buttons on it. I forget. I think pressing the center button once hangs up and answers. If you double tap it, it puts them on hold and answers the phone. I don't know if you use earbuds or anything like that. I've always said Apple, and I never wrote them. I should have written them. Apple, I think, dropped the ball, at least for us blind people. You got the volume buttons on the left side of your phone. They should have put a third middle button for, like, when you're listening to music, you know, single tap or press is pause, play, double tap is next track, you know, triple tap is go back. Because, you know, for us, it's a little bit more of a pain, and then you got to find, move your finger around the screen to find a pause button or the next track button or next chapter or anything like that, or even to answer the phone.
Okay, Cheryl, one time we, meaning a group, were talking about using Uber. And when I call, I don't have, I guess, an app on my phone. I just call them on my iPhone. And I get this little guy, and after he gets through asking me questions, he said, I'm going to send you a text, and you have to give me the code. Well, I just said, well, I'll have to hang up and call you back. So I hang up, get my code, call him back, give him my code. So you mentioned, I think there was a way to switch, get my code, and then come back. And so is that like what she's talking about, the same idea?
Actually, what you would do in that case, Susie, is close out the app, you know, close out the phone app. You're still connected. Go into your messages. Read the code. Tell them they're still on the phone. They can't hear your voiceover. Tell them what the code is. You do not have to hang up. Like, for example, today I had to reopen my case with Division of Blind Services. She sent me a document I had to sign. So while she was on the phone, I closed out the phone app. I went into my email, found the document, tapped on the link to do my signature, signed my name, and hit the accept button, all while she was on the phone. So you do not have to hang up while you're getting the code. And last night, Ira, when they log on to my Walmart account, they same thing. They send me a code through email. So I just close out the Ira app, go into the mail, get the code, and I'm still connected.
I would be careful. Hopefully this doesn't sound rude. Not close out the Ira app. To me, close out means you go into App Switcher and close it. That would kill your call. You mean just go back to your home screen, then go to mail, right?
Well, I'm not shutting it down. I'm closing it. I'm getting out of the app. Okay. So I'm just doing, you know, when you, without going into this app switcher, I'm just closing it. I'm not shutting it down. I'm just getting out of it so I can get into another app.
Oh, okay. Got you. So you're just basically going to home screen.
Yes, go to the home screen, then go to wherever you need to go, and then you're still connected.
Okay, now you have Uber. Well, I don't even know if you use Uber or not, but you have Uber on an app on your phone, right? Because I'm not using an app on my phone. I'm just calling them, making a phone call.
Yeah, but that's what I'm referring to. In your case, you can. They said we're going to send you a code. You don't have to hang up with the phone call. You just get out of your phone app and go to your messages while you're still connected to them. Tell them the code, and you never have to leave the call.
Okay. I'll try that. I don't use them that much, but after, well, when I first told him, I said, I can't take a text. I'll have to hang up. And I thought, they're going to be grumpy. But anyway, they said, okay. So I just hung up, got my, you know, my code, and then called them back. And, of course, they wanted to ask me all the same questions all over again. I said, my code is such, such, such. And I said, okay. All right. Thanks. I didn't mean to be so wordy.
So now, in the future, whenever you do that, you don't have to hang up. You can get your text. Just say, hold on a second. That, you know, just, they're still connected. You're not putting them on hold. You're just, you know, getting out of the phone app, going to your messages, getting the text. And you don't even have to go back into the phone app to reconnect. You know, you're still connected. So it's amazing what we can do while we're on the phone.
Another way of doing it is depending how your notifications come in. Mine come in at the top on the left and maybe on the right. I just normally gravitate to the left side at the top of the screen, and my notification will be right there. If your phone's unlocked, it should read the text message that come in. It's usually not that long, and you could read the code right there. Otherwise, like she said, she says, okay, we sent you a text message. You hear the ping. You go to home screen, however you do it. I just press the home button, or if you've got the swipe, you swipe up to the first beep. I think that's how you do it with the new phones. Click double tap on messages, open the text message, and read the code to them. It's that easy.
Well, mine's easier. I just push the home button and say read text.
See, I don't know if that would work while you're on the phone to do that. I always swipe to the actual messages. Does anybody know if you can use Siri while you're on the phone?
I don't think you can. I've tried it before.
I think if you're on a call, it hangs up the call for some reason. I'm not sure if that's only like with FaceTime. FaceTime, you're limited on things you can do, but if it's a regular phone call, I still think Siri will hang up on the call for some reason. I'll have to try that one day.
Okay, well, I'll just practice my swiping and see how that works.
Yeah, that's what I would recommend doing. That way you don't have to go through all that rigmarole of calling back and them asking you, putting you through all that again.
So is that GoGo Grandparent that you're using like that with Uber Susie?
No, it's just regular Uber. When I first used Uber, I used GoGo Grandparents. But I guess I kind of resent it no more than I used it. I resented the fact that they were charging me a monthly, a monthly payment. That's not what I'm wanting. But anyway, so I just went the other way.
Yeah, see, I never realized you could do that, that you actually could just call them, because I didn't like that whole idea of GoGo Grandparent either. You know, being charged to talk to somebody, and then all the mileage and everything else that you have to add on to. I mean, I get it that you got to pay for it, but that was a lot. That was a lot for me.
Uber actually has its own toll-free number. I haven't tried it, but I assume that's what you guys are using. Sorry, I had a phone call, so I missed some of this. I'll have to listen to it later.
Yeah, it's the toll-free Uber number. I'm flipping in my little book to see if I see it real quickly without holding things up. I'll look, and then if I find it, I will tell it to you or send it to you.
I find that the Uber app is fairly accessible and easy to use as far as you know, They, you know, where to, you type in the address, and then it asks you, you know, pick up from, and, you know, and then you go through the options of, you know, the prices, and I find it fairly easy to use, and I like the option that you can send a message to the driver. It's like, oh, by the way, I'm blind, I have a cane, and I'm, you know, wearing such and such.
Well, I need to learn how to use that. But the phone number, Chris Ann, if you want to get something, write it with or record it, I'll give it to you.
Yeah, I think, hold on a second, I'll go do that.
I was having trouble for a while with the Uber app because, you know, when you take a ride, at the end, it gives you the option of tipping your driver and rating the trip. Well, I would get all that done, and then I couldn't find the submit button. But they have fixed that now. That seems to be working much better than it was for a while.
Well, now that we have Connection Plus here in Jacksonville, which is a ride service through the paratransit system, and I don't use it nearly as much, but I actually prefer Lyft over Uber.
Well, maybe you can tell me about Lyft.
It's pretty much the same situation. It's an app you download. You just fill in the details. To me, it's easier to use. You have the same option of sending a message to the driver. They can call you when they arrive. So it's just easy. You know exactly how much they're going to charge you. You have the option of leaving a tip. It's pretty cool. And it's pretty straightforward.
How does it compare in price to Uber? Is it pretty comparable?
Well, with Uber, they'll say, they'll give me a price and they'll say, is that okay? Well, one day it was going to be $21 for a mile and a half ride. And I said, no. And so they came down more than half. And my daughter said, oh, they've got variations in their prices, but I hadn't thought about going back and looking at all of that. But Chris Ann, are you there?
Yep, I'm here. I'm ready.
It's 833-873-8237. I should have written it in the window. I don't know why I didn't do that.
Well, it's good for the recording, so whoever listens to this will have that information. So thanks for sharing that, Susie.
One thing I will say on Uber, do not use their prearranged ride, you know, where you can do like a time call. They charge you triple for that. I swear. We tried it one time, and we were just going a few blocks, and it was like 30-some bucks.
I got caught with that schedule a ride thing, too. I was, before we had this service, I was doing Uber home, and I set it up to pick me up at 5 o'clock, and about 5 minutes till they gave me, they sent me a surge message, said your trip will now cost $25. You have so many minutes to cancel if you don't want to pay it. Well, I was a little too late at that point, so I never did it again.
It's good to know that. Thank you.
Now, you think that's because it was a pre-scheduled one or ended up being? Because I know both of them, although it usually tells you because you were trying to book it right then and there, if it's peak hour, it'll say, like, I forget how they name it. They each have their own name for it. But it's basically peak prices, meaning there's a lot of demand for cars, so they up the price.
Well, that should not be allowed. If you agree to schedule a trip and it's at a certain price, they should honor that price.
That I agree with.
Well, and when we did it, it was definitely not peak hours. I mean, it was in the morning, like 11-something. I don't think that would be considered peak hours.
No, it isn't. I had a driver one day, and he told me he drove, I think, 2-3 hours in the morning, and then he then picked up again in the afternoon about 3:30. He said there's more traffic during that time, or more demand.
Well, I know I've heard of people. My brother does it when he comes into town here. He established a relationship with an Uber driver that lives not too far from our house. And he just calls him directly. Now, obviously, you can't use the app and you know, your credit card and everything else, you know, that you're paying him directly cash and whatever tip you want to give him or whatever. But he just decided that was a lot easier than trying to go through the app. And they have given me the number as well. I haven't tried it yet, but I'm wondering if I don't really know what the difference in price is doing it that way, but I have heard of other people doing it that way too.
Well, I had one driver that told me that she had a blind customer that always called her direct anytime. And I don't know why I didn't get her phone number that day. But the problem I was having is people's GPSs, when they come into our complex, it points them right. And 3 different times I was calling, they said, I'm at your place and where are you? And then they charged me. Well, they were on the other side of the complex. So from then on, when I called, I told them, I said, they need to ignore the GPS. They need to turn left, immediately left when they come in. So, and then one day the guy, his car didn't make any noise. And I'd been sitting there and I was calling and they said, well, he says he's right there. He'd been sitting facing me the whole time, and I didn't know he was there, and I had told him to say, you know, to let me know that he was there. Thank goodness I found out right before he took off.
I had that happen with a paratransit bus. They just stopped and turned the motor off, and I was standing right there with a cane and everything. And on paratransit, they're supposed to have you on a sheet, you know, that you were blind, and I thought, obviously, when I finally did connect with the person, they didn't read the sheet. But yes, that happens a lot.
Sorry, I didn't mean to make it into a complaint section.
Ditto.
Well, that was a pretty interesting discussion. But the Uber and the Lyft are great apps. I love having the ability to call. And back in the days, when it was just cab service, I would rather take a city bus than call a cab because you never knew if they were going to actually show up.
Well, I used the same cab company for, I guess, about 15 years when I moved back to Murfreesboro. And she was late coming a lot of times, but I always knew that she was going to get there. And if I called, and she would usually tell me, I've got another run. It's going to be a while. Well, that's fine. I knew she was coming, but these, when she had to retire, oh my gosh, it was terrible. That's when I had to find another way to get somewhere. And that was Uber.
Our paratransit system here, which is just limited to the city limits of where I live, they just started with an app that looks pretty similar to Uber and Lyft, except, and I never know, I haven't played with this because I haven't had to use it to schedule anything yet, but you know, there, it doesn't say button. I mean, you swipe across and it's got all the headings there that you can read, you know, schedule a ride and, you know, your address and all that kind of stuff. But it doesn't really have, so does that still mean you just double tap on them and assume that that's a button there?
Well, I would call the paratransit company and say, do you consider this app to be accessible?
I would assume. I mean, you could always try if it sounds like something you want, because I have used an app or two that it does not say button. But when I do double tap on it, it does open up or go to where it says, you know, like if it says do breakfast items, and it does go there.
Yeah, I do use paratransit too.
Doesn't hurt to try double tapping on something, but yeah, you can always report it and hopefully they'll relabel them.
And, you know, with stuff like that, I really hesitate to use an app because, unfortunately, the more of us that do stuff like that, the more they're going to get away from the phone calling. And I think the phone calling, especially on paratransit, has to remain. It can't go completely online because there's always going to be people that will not or cannot navigate online situations.
Oh, it will never go completely online because there are so many people out there, especially, you know, the older folks that are not even interested in a computer, doing anything online, you know, and that's fine. That's what the reservationists are for. So that there will always be a need for that.
Yeah, my mother's aunt was like that. All she had was cable TV. She didn't even have internet.
And you hate to see people lose their jobs. I mean, here at our paratransit, they got some very nice ladies that you talk to, and I'm praying they just started with this app. And I'm really praying that they do not, you know, eliminate those jobs, because you're right. There are people that absolutely, just like people that want to, you know, that it's easier to call Uber. That's just the way they prefer to do it, and that's the way they can do it, depending on, you know, what equipment they have. But no, I hate to see people lose their jobs over something like that.
I kind of hope they come up with an app here in Jacksonville, because the wait times to get a reservationist are so long because we have all these different ride services that we provide. And there's only like 7-8 of us answering the phone. There's like 150 people calling in at any one given time. So it's a tough day. But they're coming out with a new phone system that's going to be interesting to see how it's going to work for me.
Yeah, you hope that it'll never go completely digital, but a lot of things are. Like your Quest Diagnostics, where you go get your blood drawn to go to the doctor, when you go check in, it's a touch screen, or, you know, that you can walk in and use. Luckily, I've gone with people, but my mom has gone in back when she was driving, and luckily there's somebody there and they help her out, but, you know, a lot of people can't, you know, use a touch screen, and there's not even anybody out there usually. I mean, it's just, and sometimes they want, when pre-registered to go to a doctor, they want you to do it online.
Yeah, I noticed that. I got an email this morning, check in for your doctor's appointment now. It's like, you know, that's not even accessible. I double tap on it, and then I get lost. So a lot of that, especially these surveys they send you, I get them in on the phone, on my mail. You can get all the way through and almost finish, and then the accessibility drops.
I just ignore that check-in thing because, yeah, and then I get an email, which I normally don't see till after I'm leaving the doctor's office, because I have it set to come my email to once an hour to save battery. So I'm there, and then I get an email saying, are you here yet? Just I think it's a text or an email. Just respond yes to let us know that you have arrived. Like, no, I'm walking up to the lady or the person behind the desk and telling them I arrived.
That's what I do. I ignore all those messages and emails. I go to the desk and tell them I'm here and what I'm there for. The heck with that stuff. I don't want people to lose their jobs.
Well, I usually get a notice for a doctor's appointment check-in, you know, a few days in advance. So I can do it here, and it is totally accessible. And actually what happens if you go to the doctor often enough, at least on the system that I use, a lot of the checkboxes and everything are already filled in. You're just verifying the same information, you know, what your medications are and what your history is. And once you do it, the checkboxes are pretty much filled in. And then, you know, if you have to add something, you can. But because you get that enough ahead of time, and I can take my time in doing it here, I do it here because I don't want to stand there and give all my history, you know, in a doctor's office and in front of everybody else. And now you're getting, you know, they're short staffed and they don't have anybody to fill it out for you and all that. So I'm glad that I have an accessible system.
Well, for us here, we get that same thing. They want you to fill it out, but they call us in the doctor's office. The nurse takes you in, you sit down, and you're in there by yourself with the nurse or whoever she is. And she asks you the same questions you get in the one you get in your email. You go online and do it, but when you get to the doctor's office, they take you in and set the desk and ask your medications and have you had any, you know, illnesses or, you know, any pains or whatever. They ask you everything. And then they said, okay, thank you. Doctor will be right in. So they leave. I said, I'm not going to answer the questions twice.
Yeah, if they're asking me the same questions and you already filled it out, then why waste your time? The only one I really do is I do get a text message, oh, you got an appointment tomorrow at whatever time. Just reply yes to confirm. That I'll do. That's easy enough.
Yeah, my doctor's office will actually call me on the phone. It's an automatic thing, and you just press the number, and it said, thank you for confirming. It's like, okay, cool.
The other thing that they're doing on iPhones now, and I may have brought this up before, they're sending you a notification now that you have to click on in the notification to confirm rather than in a text message. And I have tried that, and I just can't get it to work. I know Verizon does that now, this verification thing. They don't send you a text anymore. It's a notification. And you cannot access where you're supposed to click in those things.
Oh, wow. Have you tried rotoring to links and see if that will activate it?
I have not. I'll have to try that.
Because I know when they would send a verification, Amazon's real good for doing that. You have to rotor the links to get it to even click on that link to go and do that. But it is not easy. So Amazon will let you manually verify. So whenever I call into them, they want to, and they just started that in the last 6 months. They want to send you a verification code. And it's like, why? So anyway, I explained to her that, no, I don't do that well. So she just says, well, we'll just manually verify then. And she asked me questions regarding my account to verify that it is me. And it's all good. So that's what I recommend doing if you're able to do that.
Yeah, I think it was Amazon. And I ended up calling accessibility.
I had a question if we're done with this part of it. I got a message from someone whom I want to add to my contact list. I don't know if he's in my contact list or not, but one of the choices it gives me is to pin this person. What does that mean?
All that does is put him on the top of the list of your messages, so he'll always be front and center when you get a message from him. You don't have to dig through all your other texts to get to him.
Thanks.
What is the easiest way to add someone who has sent you a message to your contacts?
Well, if they're not already in your contacts, you double tap on their number and then look for the more info and then double tap there. And then in there should be a create new contact.
Yeah, usually more info, or once you tap on their number, you tap on their number again. And always look at the bottom. Towards the very bottom, it'll say create new contact or block caller. There's options, but it's usually at the very bottom.
Thank you, Bob, for asking that question about the pinning thing. I never knew what it meant either.
Yeah, the pin is good if it's somebody you message, maybe not often, or you just want them to be top and center, like she said. Because otherwise, if you start getting messages from other people, just like emails, it starts moving to the right, to the right, to the right. And then if you want to like send them a text message, you have to swipe through all the messages that came through before them. This way, they'll still be right at the top. The first one you see, then it'll start with the chronological order.
Well, it's been great. I've got to go. I've got to leave for Lyons in an hour, and I've got some things to do. So it was really fun, Cheryl. Thank you, as always.
Wow, that was a quick hour. Thank you all for coming in. This was a very good and informative class today. So 2 weeks from today, we'll do it again. Thank you all for coming.